If an individual's thinking is short-circuited and does not rise to the level of making judgments, he or she is able to understand acts, including evil acts, only in terms of following orders, doing one's duty, being loyal to one's homeland, maintaining solidarity with one's fellow soldiers, or surrendering one's will to that of the group. This phenomenon is common in some forms of political life, as Arendt demonstrated in her most famous work, The Origins of Totalitarianism, published in 1951. But it is ubiquitous in military life, where, in order to prevail in battle, soldiers have been conditioned to follow orders instantly and to act as a cohesive group. In such roles, clichés, stock phrases, adherence to conventional standardized codes of expression and conduct have the socially recognized function of protecting us against reality, that is, against the claim on our thinking attention which all events and facts arouse by virtue of their existence. This is one reason why democratic republics must be particularly vigilant about standing armies in wars of choice, if, that is, they intend to retain their liberties. At Abu Ghraib prison in Iraq, some American soldiers had become so inured to the torture of Iraqi inmates that they made a screensaver, a picture that automatically comes onto a computer screen whenever the operator is not working, of naked Iraqi captives stacked in a pyramid, with their tormentors looking on, laughing in the background. By contrast, on January 13, 2004, Sergeant Joseph M. Darby of the Army's 372nd Military Police Company turned over a computer disk of similar photos from Abu Ghraib of American soldiers torturing Iraqis to the Army's Criminal Investigations Division. He said that the photos violated everything that I personally believed in and everything that I had been taught about the rules of war. Sergeant Darby had not stopped thinking. No Pentagon civilian or American officer above the rank of lieutenant colonel has so far been prosecuted for the policies that led to Abu Ghraib and other acts of torture and murder in Iraq, Afghanistan, and elsewhere. Another proof that, as a consequence of our half-century of devotion to war, we unintentionally abandoned our Republican checks on the activities of public officials and elevated the military to a position that places it, in actual practice, beyond the law. In so doing, what we have created is a large corps of desk murderers in our executive branch and the highest ranks of our armed forces. These people have replaced their ability to think and judge with clichés, stock phrases, and adherence to conventional, standardized codes of expression and conduct. For example, Secretary of Defense Donald Rumsfeld shrugged off the defilement and looting of ancient monuments and museums in Baghdad as the American occupation of that country began by saying, "Stuff happens," and then joking that he did not think there were that many ancient vases in Iraq.